The Bible states that the prodigal came to himself. That is to say, he began to think straight. He came to his right mind. There is a universal imperative which God has laid upon every human being. It is expressed in these words, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The divine imperative to repent applies to every person, all men. It includes all the people of the earth, everywhere. It is presently resting upon your heart, now. This is solemn and deserving reverent response. God commandeth. It is specific and clear. Repent. Now, remember that repent means to turn from sin, to abandon sin, and to turn to God. That is God's call to you this very moment. The call to repentance is addressed to the heart of man. The Bible uses that term heart in three major ways. First, there is a general usage, as when we speak of the heart of a problem. Second, there is a physical usage, seen particularly in sections of the Old Testament which deal with sacrificed animals, which uses heart to refer to the bodily organ which pumps the blood. Third, there is a psychological usage which uses heart to refer to man's inmost being, the center of his personality. In that third usage, heart refers to the mind, the emotions, and the will. The call to repentance involves a response by mind, emotion, and will of he who truly repents. The intellectual aspect of repentance involves a change of the mind. It means to have another mind, a different attitude. You see, man is an intelligent being. And God deals with him after a rational manner, calling for him to reason together and requiring no more than is his reasonable service. There is no surprise, therefore, that the call to repentance is addressed to the mind of a person. In the religious sense, repentance means a sinner's mind is changed so as to cause him to honestly face up to his condition as a sinner. He recognizes the divine law as perfectly just, himself as inexcusably wrong, and admits to himself that he has fallen short of God's holy requirements. He realizes and admits his personal guilt, defilement, and helplessness. Until a person is willing to face up to the truth about himself, he will not deal honestly with God concerning forgiveness. We call this intellectual aspect of repentance by the term conviction. It means evidence is presented to a man and he admits to the truth of his undone condition before God. Jesus gave a parable which illustrates the intellectual aspect of repentance. He told of a man who said to his son, "Go work today in my vineyard." The boy answered, "I will not." Then Jesus added, "But afterward he repented and went." I can imagine the thoughts which went through the boy's mind as he considered his response to the father's request. He probably thought, "It was not right for me to talk to my father that way. He wouldn't have asked me to go work today if he had not needed my help. And the things I had planned for the day are important to me, but not so important that they cannot be postponed while I help my father harvest the crop. I'll go work as he requested." Well, you can see the change in the lad's mind. That is typical of the different thoughts a person thinks when he is dealt with of God in preparation for repentance. No wonder Jesus said of the young man, "Afterward he repented and went." Consider further the experience of the young man we call the prodigal son. He grew restless in his hometown. He grew weary of his father's oversight and control of the family affairs. He grew angry at the attitudes and superiority of his elder brother. At last, he thought he could stand it no more. He came to his father with the request, "Father, give me the portions of good that falleth to me." The father, dividing his estate between the two boys, his sons and heirs, let the younger son take his wealth and go away into a foreign country. There followed a life of dissipation which brought his moral breakdown and his economic ruin. His condition deteriorated until he was working at the lowest job to be found in that country. Only then did the prodigal son change his thinking and take the first step of repentance. The Bible states that the prodigal came to himself. That is to say, he began to think straight. He came to his right mind. He compared the servants in his father's house with himself and concluded they were better off than he. At one time, he disparaged the privilege of being a son in his father's house. Now he was willing to be a servant in that same household. Would you say he had repented? Of course he had. He came to another mind, a right way of thinking, and it caused him to turn his steps in the opposite direction from which he had so long traveled. Remember that the basis meaning of repent is turn. Right thinking turned the prodigal son home. Now, it is such a change which the preaching of the gospel intends to accomplish in the hearts of men. Read again that great sermon preached by the Apostle Paul on Mars Hill in the heart of intellectual and pagan Athens, and behold his appeal to men to change, to turn, to repent. He said, "I want to tell you about the unknown God whose altar is by you and whom you worship in ignorance. He is the God who made the world and all that is therein. He is Lord of heaven and earth. He is not confined to a temple made with hands. He needs no man to provide his necessities for him. On the contrary, it is he who has made all mankind and gives to all his creatures their life and breath and all other things. Man is so made in the image of God that he can seek after God and know God by personal experience. God is not made of gold or silver or stone. No, he is a living person who will one day judge the world through his Son, Jesus Christ. For a long time, God has endured the idolatry of the world. That time is no more. He now commands all men everywhere to repent, to turn." What a call to repentance. Notice that Paul did not tell stories to appeal to the emotions. He presented facts which must be received by the mind. Now, there is an emotional aspect to repentance, but the emotional follows the intellectual. Man must know before he can respond. Paul's sermon intended to challenge thinking men to change their way of thinking about gods in general and the sovereign God in particular. The Mars Hill sermon was a call to repentance. Well, here is a man who has been a wicked sinner. He brags about how he cheats his employer, how drunk he gets, how he beat up an opponent in a fight, how unfaithful he has been to his wife, and lack offenses against decency and morality. But one day, God speaks to his heart, and suddenly he has a different attitude toward his sin. He's ashamed of it. He no longer boasts of it. Indeed, his whole disposition of mind is different as he regards his former way of life. He has taken the first step in the experience of repentance. Now look honestly in your own heart. What is your attitude toward sin? Do you excuse it? Do you justify it? Do you plan how to continue in it? If so, you are not living the spirit of true repentance. I pray God your attitude of mind is such that you see sin as it really is, and that your understanding of it compels you to turn from sin to God. That is what God means when he calls you to repentance. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent."